I want you to realize that Paul and Silas are serving the Lord in the Lord's will as we go into this text this morning. Saul's, or Paul's, missionary journey with Barnabas is recorded in 13:1 through 14:28 and is followed by the council at Jerusalem in 15:1 through 35. Paul's second missionary journey, this time with Silas, occurs in 15:36 through 18:22. And of course, that's the text we're in this morning. We won't do the whole second missionary journey, but we'll do a small segment of it. Paul and Silas, within the will of God, had traveled through Syria and Cilicia, and then went on to Derbe and Lystra, where they were joined by Timothy. They went through Phrygia and Galatia, but were forbidden, that's within the will of God, to preach the gospel in Asia Minor, or even to enter Bithynia. They passed through Mysia to Troas, where Paul saw the Macedonian vision. They then headed through Samothracia and Neapolis to Philippi. On the Sabbath, after arising in Philippi, Paul and the others joined some Jewish women by the side of a river and spoke to them. And a lady named Lydia was saved. Following her baptism, she invited Paul and those with him to stay in her home. Later, a young demon-possessed slave girl met Paul and those with him. She kept following Paul and the others and testifying regarding them. After many days, Paul commanded the demon to come out of her, with the result that the demon came out. When the girl's masters realized that they could no longer profit from her demonic spirit, within the will of God, they caught Paul and Silas and dragged them unto the rulers of Philippi and accused them of troubling Philippi by teaching customs which were unlawful for the Philippians to receive. So the Philippian magistrates tore off Paul's and Silas' clothing and commanded them to be beaten, after which, within the will of God, they were thrown into prison, thrust into the inner prison, and their feet were placed in the stocks. Now, they had not planned on this, as you know, but it's still within God's will for them. I wonder what God's will for you or me is this week. And the answer is, we have some ideas, but we really won't know until the week is over what God has done. I'm going to back up to half a verse back into the middle of chapter 16, verse 12, and then I want to read through the text that we're going to look at this morning. And we were in that city, meaning in Philippi, abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. According to verse 13, on the Sabbath, Paul and those with him joined a group of Jewish women by the side of a river and spoke to them. There was apparently no Jewish synagogue in Philippi, which suggests that the Jewish population was rather small. A minimum of 10 Jewish men was required in order to have a synagogue. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And, continues the narrative, on the Sabbath is on the day of the Sabbaths, which means on Saturday, we went out of the city, of course that's Philippi, where we refers to Paul and his company, including Luke. It indicates that they left the city of Philippi, going outside the city to a place by a riverside, meaning beside a river or at the edge of a river, where prayer was wont to be made. It's where prayer was the custom to be, which means where prayer was customarily made. Prayer may instead refer to a place of prayer. If so, the meaning is where a place of prayer was the custom to be, or where a place of prayer customarily was. And, continues the thought, we sat down. It's used in conjunction with spake, indicating time or effect in addition to spake. Its action occurred before the action of spake, and it's been translated as showing a fact in addition to spake. But if showing time, it would be understood in the sense of after sitting down or after we sat down. And spake unto the women which resorted thither is we, meaning Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, were speaking to the assembled women or to the women who had gathered. The tense of spake indicates ongoing action in past time. No men are mentioned as being present with the women. According to verse 14, the Lord opened the heart of a lady named Lydia to listen to Paul and get saved. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And continues the discussion of the meeting with the women by the riverside by singling out one of the women. She is described as a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God. A certain woman named Lydia indicates that she was a particular lady. Now, let's just be honest. Each one of you, as an individual, is a particular man or lady. And you're that because God made you that way. You are within the will of God by being the gender that God made you, contrary to what some in our society seem to think. Of course, they don't recognize God anyway. A seller of purple indicates that Lydia was a merchant dealing in purple cloth. She's also described as of the city of Thyatira. Thyatira, which was Lydia's hometown, was located between Pergamos and Sardis in what is known today as Western Turkey. Which worshipped God is describing Lydia? She's a worshiper of God, which suggests that Lydia may have been a Jewish proselyte. Now, she was not saved, but she still believed in God and was there to worship him. Of course, she was moving in the right direction in her spiritual life by worshiping God. Heard us, was hearing us, or was listening to us. As indicated by the italics, this is always the case with italics. Us has been supplied by the translators in reference to Paul and his company, and it's done in order to aid our understanding of the English translation. Whose heart the Lord opened, where whose refers to Lydia, suggests whose heart the Lord opened thoroughly, which implies whom the Lord enabled to perceive. Note that it is the Lord who opens the hearts of people. It isn't the speaker, in spite of his excellent speech. If the Lord doesn't open someone's heart, he is not going to get saved. I think you have to understand, salvation is of the Lord. And we proclaim the gospel, or we witness regarding the gospel, but we are incapable of opening the hearts of the people to whom we might witness or to whom we might speak. The heart is a part used to represent the whole person, and it suggests deep within herself. That she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul indicates the intended result of the Lord's opening Lydia's heart and suggests with the result that she paid attention to the things which were being spoken by Paul. Now, as a speaker, even though some may look attentive, it doesn't mean that they're always paying attention. Sometimes they're sleeping on the inside, or maybe they're thinking about what they're going to fix for dinner or eat for dinner, or maybe they're thinking about which their favorite team getting beat this afternoon. It just depends on what's going through their minds. But of course, we need to be paying attention to the Word of God as we seek to study it. Sometimes people actually do listen, for which we're thankful, all right? It's the Word of God we're trying to explain to you, and we want you always to know what it is saying and what it means. In every message in this church, we want you people to know what God said in that passage of Scripture and how it applies to us today. We're not looking to entertain anybody. We're looking to teach the Bible to a group of hungry people. According to verse 15, after Lydia and her household were baptized, she invited Paul and his group to stay in her home. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And transitions to the next thought in the narrative in the sense of then or now. When she was baptized, where she refers to Lydia, indicates that she had placed her trust in Christ as her Savior as a result of her paying attention to the things Paul had been saying and the Lord's opening her heart. And her household indicates that members of her household or family were also baptized as a result of their also believing the gospel message. Some of these members of her household may have been servants or children. No husband is mentioned. So it is possible that she was never married or never had children. If so, then her household would have consisted of servants. Citing the baptism of her household is used by some to suggest infant baptism. But it's not known if she even had children or if she did what the ages of her children would have been. Infant baptism is unscriptural. However, all of these people that were baptized had believed the gospel or they would never have been baptized by the Apostle Paul. She besought us where she is, Lydia is. She urged us. She strongly appealed to us. She exhorted us or she encouraged us. Again, as indicated by the italics, us has been supplied by the translators in it is referring to Paul, rather. I know he's still Saul, but he's still Paul now again. Silas, Timothy, and Luke. Saying is used in conjunction with besought, and it indicates the means by which she besought Paul and his company. It's understood in the sense of by saying. The tense of saying indicates that its action was ongoing or repeated and occurring at the same time as the action of besought. She really wanted them to stay there. It wasn't just a casual invitation. She was saying it repeatedly. What Lydia was saying is, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. Now, you have no idea how big her house was or her household was, but obviously it was large enough to have a household, perhaps servants, and four adult men coming there to stay. It's a conditional statement whose structure in the Greek text assumes that its condition, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, it assumes that it is true. And therefore, if may be understood in the sense of assuming that, however, inasmuch as Paul and the others accepted her invitation, they apparently believed it to be true and understood if in the sense of since, because, inasmuch as, or in view of the fact that, they regarded her as saved people. To be faithful to the Lord, where the Lord refers to Christ, may mean to be trustworthy, to be reliable, or to be dependable to the Lord, but it seems better understood in this context in the sense of to be believing or to be trusting in the Lord. To be a believer in the Lord, suggesting to be genuinely saved. The conclusion of the condition is, come into my house and abide there. Come into my house, where my refers to Lydia, is used in conjunction with abide, indicating a fact in addition to abide. It's been translated as a command or imperative by which she entreats Paul and his company to take up residence in her home. To abide means to remain or to stay in the sense of to dwell or to lodge. as indicated by the italics, there has been supplied by the translators. It is implied by the context. And continues the thought, she constrained us. Where she is Lydia, and where us refers to Paul and his company, is she urged us strongly, or she prevailed upon us. That sounds like she was persuasive, doesn't it? It implies that they accepted her gracious invitation. They probably didn't have a good place to stay anyway. They were new in town, and they didn't have motels the way we would. So we don't know where they stayed, but now they are going to her home. In verse 16, a young slave girl who was demon-possessed met Paul and those with him. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. And introduces this transition to the next thought in the narrative in the sense of then or now. Remember, this is all being done within the will of God. And it came to pass is simply, it happened, it occurred, or it took place. Now, how much time passed between verses 15 and 16 is not indicated. And we went to prayer. As we went to prayer, it's used in conjunction with the verb translated, it came to pass. It's been translated as indicating time in the sense of while we were going or proceeding to prayer, not while we were beginning to pray, but while we were on our way to the place of prayer. Its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of it came to pass. What came to pass is that a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which supplies the content of it and also functions as the subject of the verb translated came to pass. A certain damsel is a certain young female slave. She was a particular individual, but she was unnamed. Possessed with a spirit of divination means that she was possessed by a demon, which supposedly enabled her to foretell the future. Now, this was a charade. She didn't really have the ability to foretell the future. She would be used by a demon who was also not able to foretell the future, but was able to fool people. Met us, where us refers to Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, and it suggests that she encountered them as they were on their way to the place of prayer, which is who, to be sure, and emphasizes the characteristic quality this damsel had, which confirms that she had a spirit of divination. Brought her masters much gain, was bringing about her, was causing great gain or great profit. The tense of brought indicates repeated action in past time. Gain has been placed in a possession of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, who, to be sure, great profit was bringing to her masters. Her masters refers to her owners or her slave masters by soothsaying. It's used in conjunction with brought, and it's been translated as indicating the means by which she brought her owner's great profit. It is understood in the sense of by prophesying. According to verse 17, the demon-possessed young slave girl followed Paul and those with him and testified regarding them. Remember, this is within the will of God. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. The same is this one, or she, and refers to the damsel who was possessed with the spirit of divination. Followed is used in conjunction with cried, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to cried. The tense of followed indicates that its action occurred either slightly before or at the same time as the action of cried. The ones she followed were Paul and us, meaning Paul, and at least Silas, Timothy, and Luke. We don't know whether there might have been others in the group. Cried is was or kept crying, was or kept calling or calling out, and implies in a loud voice. Its tense indicates ongoing or repeated action in past time. Saying is used in conjunction with cried, indicating a fact in addition to cried, and its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of cried. Together, cried and saying are understood in the sense of was or kept crying out, was or kept out screaming, was or kept out shouting and saying. And what she was saying or screaming is, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Now verse 18 makes it clear that it was actually a demon who was speaking through this female slave. Men is the generic term for human beings. So its use may suggest that some of the women were also accompanying Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke. The fact is, we don't know if there were any women, but there may have been. They're all going to the same place. Whether they were together or whether they were not together is unknown to us. R indicates an ongoing circumstance. The servants of the Most High God is slaves of the Most High God. Servants of the Most High God has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, these men, slaves of the Most High God, are, which show unto us the way of salvation, is who, to be sure, are announcing or are proclaiming to us a way of salvation, but not necessarily meaning the same way of salvation they were proclaiming. Who, which is who, to be sure. And it's used in reference to these men who are the servants of the Most High God. It is used to emphasize a characteristic quality intended to confirm that they are servants of the Most High God. Show unto us is our announcing or our proclaiming to us, meaning to the Philippian people. The tense of show indicates action, which is ongoing. What they are announcing or are proclaiming is the way of salvation. And as I have said, it's a way of salvation in the Greek text. According to verse 18, after many days, how many is many? Well, depends on whether you're waiting till Christmas gets here or whether you're just waiting for your anniversary. It can be a long time, but we don't know how long it is. This she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the prophet, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And transitions to the next thought in the narrative in the sense of then or now. And this refers to the damsels following Paul and those with him and crying out loudly that these people are slaves of the Most High God who are announcing to us a way of salvation. This did she many days, where she's the slave girl, as she was doing for many days. How long this was going on is not clear, but it was apparently for quite a while. as translated, but introduces a statement in mild contrast to the damsel's doing this for many days. It's the same word translated and at the beginning of this verse, and may instead be understood in the sense of and, then, or now. Paul being grieved is Paul being greatly disturbed, or Paul being greatly annoyed. Being grieved is used in conjunction with said, indicating cause or a fact in addition to said. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of said, if showing cause is understood in the sense of because he was grieved, because he was greatly disturbed, or because he was annoyed. But if showing a fact in addition to said, it's understood in the sense of Paul was grieved, Paul was disturbed, or Paul was annoyed and said. You get the idea that Paul didn't care for this. Although it was true that these men were the servants of the Most High God and were showing the way of salvation to the people in Philippi, Paul did not want her saying this because it might cause damage to his message and ministry by causing confusion to those who would hear what she was saying, especially knowing that it was coming from a demon. Turned is used in conjunction with said, and it's been translated as showing a fact in addition to said. Its action likewise occurred before the action of said. And said to the spirit is then said to the spirit of divination. The demon who was possessing this young female slave, supposedly enabling her to foretell the future. And what Paul said is, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. I command thee, where thee is you singular, and refers to the demon as I am commanding, I'm giving orders to, I'm directing, or I'm instructing you. In the name of Jesus Christ indicates the authority by whom Paul was commanding this demon to come out of this young female slave. Now you know, and I know, that the name of Jesus Christ represents Jesus Christ himself and everything about him. It means the same thing. In the name of Jesus Christ means the same thing as I command thee by Jesus Christ to come out of her, where her refers to the young female slave, indicates that the demon had to get out of her and to stop possessing or inhabiting her. And he came out the same hour. Where he refers to the demon indicates that the demon obeyed Paul's commandment. Of course, Paul was an apostle and had been given this authority to cast out the demon. Now, don't you try this, or you might end up like one of the seven sons of Sceva in Acts 19, if you will remember that. They were Jewish exorcists, and they were trying to cast a demon out of somebody. And the demon said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then he attacked all seven of them and got the best of them by far, and they fled. Do not get involved like that. You are not an apostle, and you do not have that kind of authority. The same hour is in this hour means at that very time, at once or instantly. According to verse 19, the young slave girl's masters realized that their ability to profit from the slave girl's demonic spirit was gone. And when you affect somebody's income, they usually get mad, and caught Paul and Silas and dragged them under the rulers of Philippi. Doesn't sound like they went voluntarily. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. And, of course, is transitioning to the next thought in the narrative. When her master saw, it's used in conjunction with drew, indicating time or cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of drew. And it's understood in the sense of after or because her masters or owners saw. And what they saw was that the hope of their gains was gone. That the hope, the expectation, or the prospect of their profits was gone or had disappeared, and it wasn't coming back. They realized that she was no longer able to foretell the future and that they would no longer be able to use her to make money. What's gone has been placed in the position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, was gone, the hope, the expectation, or the prospect of their profits. How long it took them to figure this out is not clear, but it was probably not very likely very long. They caught Paul and Silas, as used in conjunction with drew, and it's been translated as indicating effect in addition to drew. Draw, or drew rather, is dragged. As indicated by the italics, them, which refers to Paul and Silas, has been supplied by the translators. Where were Luke and Timothy? And the answer is, we don't know. Why weren't they dragged? We don't know. Just leave that one alone. They dragged them into the marketplace unto the rulers. It indicates where Paul and Silas were dragged because this is where the officials of the city would be found. Now remember, this is being done within the will of God. If you are Paul and Silas, and you are being dragged by an angry group of people someplace, realize God could have prevented this whole thing had he chosen to do so, but they were right where God wanted them to be within his will. That doesn't mean we understand everything about his will. In verse 20, the slave girl's masters accused Paul and Silas of troubling the city of Philippi and brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." And continues the thought of that previous verse, brought is used in conjunction with said, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of said. Of course it had to. They had to be brought before they're going to say anything. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to said, and it might instead be used to indicate time in the sense of after they brought them as Paul and Silas to the magistrates, indicates where they brought Paul and Silas, and these were the highest officials in the Roman colony of Philippi. Saying is said, and what they said comprises the rest of verse 20 and all of verse 21. These men, where men is the generic term for human beings, and it refers to Paul and Silas, these people, Jews has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, these men trouble our city, Jews being, do exceedingly trouble our city, where our city refers to Philippi, and our refers to the ones who had dragged Paul and Silas to the magistrates, are agitating our city, are causing trouble to our city, or are throwing our city into confusion. Doesn't matter if it's true. It wasn't true, but that doesn't matter. It was being said. According to verse 21, the girl's masters accused Paul and Silas of teaching customs which were unlawful for the Philippians to receive. And teaching customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And continues the accusation, those who had dragged Paul and Silas to the marketplace were making to the magistrates. Teach customs is our proclaiming or are announcing customs, meaning long-established practices common to a group of people, which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, describes customs, which are not lawful, suggests, which are not right, which are not authorized, which are not permitted, or which are not proper for us to receive, neither to observe, where us refers to the inhabitants of Philippi, is for us to accept in the sense of to acknowledge or to be correct. Excuse me, to acknowledge to be correct, nor to keep, meaning to carry out or to practice. Being Romans is used to describe us. It's understood in the sense of who are Romans, or since we are Romans. Although others were permitted to have their own beliefs, they were not permitted to proselytize Roman citizens. You know, there are places where we may not be permitted to proclaim the gospel also. We might just go ahead and proclaim it anyway. In verse 22, the magistrates of Philippi tore off Paul's and Silas' clothing and commanded them to be beaten. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Notice there's no trial here. Of course, they're going to bring that up later in the chapter, that they were Romans and falsely accused and without having been condemned. The multitude is the crowd and indicates that others who were in the marketplace joined the action against Paul and Silas. Rose up together is joined in an attack against them, means against Paul and Silas, and introduces what happened next. Within the will of God, don't forget that. I didn't write it in there, but I continue to tell you that just so you get the idea. It's within the will of God. The magistrates rent off their clothes, where there refers to Paul and Silas. It's used in conjunction with commanded. Its action occurred before the action of commanded. It has been translated as indicating a fact in addition to commanded. It might instead be used to indicate time in the sense of after the magistrates tore off their cloaks, meaning their robes or their outer clothing, and commanded to beat them, is and were commanding or and were ordering to beat them with rods. Remember in 2 Corinthians 11:25, Paul wrote thrice, meaning three times, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. This was apparently one of the three times Paul was beaten with rods. We don't know when the other two times occurred. According to verse 23, after they were beaten with rods, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, again, how many is many? We don't know, but you know it's quite a few. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. And continues the thought, when they had laid many stripes upon them, where they refers to the magistrates or their subordinates, and where them refers to Paul and Silas, is used in conjunction with cast. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of cast, in the sense of after they laid many stripes on them. Had laid is simply had inflicted. Many stripes upon them is many blows or many strokes on them. Many is a large but indeterminate number. It wasn't just two or three. They cast them into prison may mean they forcefully threw Paul and Silas into prison. Or if less forcefully, it may mean they put them in prison. As indicated by the italics, them has been supplied by the translators, charging the jailer to keep them safely. It's used in conjunction with cast, indicating a fact in addition to cast. Its action occurred at the same time as the action of cast, and it's understood in the sense of and charge the jailer to keep them safely. Charging is giving orders to, commanding, instructing, or directing. The jailer is the jailer or the keeper of the prison to keep them safely. Where them refers to Paul and Silas is to keep watch over or to guard them securely. In the prison, Paul and Silas were put in the inner prison, and their feet were placed in the stocks, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Who refers to the jailer. Having received is used in conjunction with thrust and made fast, indicating time or cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of thrust. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after he received. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because he received. And what he received is such a command, simply a command or an order such as this. Thrust is the same term translated cast in the previous verse, and it may mean he forcefully threw Paul and Silas into the inner prison. Or if less forcefully, it may mean he put them in the inner prison. Them, of course, as Paul and Silas. Into the inner prison suggests that it was a more secure section of the prison. And taking no chances on a possible escape attempt, the jailer made their feet fast in the stocks. Made fast is fastened or made secure. And their feet has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and their feet he fastened in the stocks. In the stocks indicates that their feet were placed in a device made of wood which restrained their feet. Now, if you've seen any pictures of stocks where somebody would have been put into them, they're on their back and their feet are into holes that have been put in boards, and then two boards are put together, and there's no way they can get their feet out. So they're not going anywhere and they're not going to be comfortable. Now, don't forget that Romans 8:28 and Psalm 37:23 are true. So is the fact that as for God, his way is perfect. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Well, Paul and Silas qualified for that. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he, meaning the Lord, delighteth in the good man's way. Once again, the Lord ordered this. Psalm 18:30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, meaning proven, true, or reliable. He's a buckler, meaning a shield, to all those that trust in him. These things happened to Paul and Silas within the will of God. Likewise, within the will of God, unpleasant things may happen to us. But don't forget, God's in control. We need to ask God to accomplish his purpose or purposes whenever these unpleasant things occur in our lives. Maybe you'll get a doctor's ruling this week that you're dying of cancer. Remember, within the will of God, that would be your situation. So here, within the will of God, Paul and Silas are hurting from the beating they had experienced. They were locked up in prison with their feet secured in the stocks. What a situation to find yourself in. Well, if you'd like to see what happened next, you're going to have to come back next week or read ahead in Acts chapter 16, okay? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that you are certainly in control of everything that comes into our lives. And we ask that you will always accomplish your purpose in whatever these things are, whether they're pleasant or whether they're very unpleasant. And we've all had unpleasant experiences. Help us, our Father, to be submissive to thee and to endure whatever comes our way because we know that you have allowed it or directed it. Help us to profit from it and to be growing and maturing as believers no matter what comes in our lives. Bless these dear folks. Thank you for them. Thank you for each one of them and meet their needs. You know exactly what they are. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.